Shabbat Shalom. Thank you so much for prayer. Thank you, Rabbi David, Rabbi and Sandy. I'm almost, lost the time when it will be. So, Rabbi David asked me to share with you for a couple hours. I meant a couple minutes. So, I want to share about few topics from today Torah portion, and I want to ask you to be with me in the scriptures today. So if you can open the Bibles and scriptures and look with me. And also I want to ask you to read Torah portions for weeks. I do it always because when we come in together equipped to listen to and understand what's happening here, it's much easier to follow up. Because we don't have much time, sometimes we are skipping some ideas because we think that we already read it, we already know it, about it. So I want to read today from Numbers chapter 20, and the story is from verse 2 till verse 13. This is the, when I read this story, only one word came to my mind, again. Because it starts from verse 2. Now there was no water for the community. So they assembled against Moses and Aaron. Again. We just read the passage about Korach in the last time. We read the passage, what's happening there, how many people died because of disobedience and rebel. What's happening there? And again. The same situation. People without water, they came to Moses and Aaron in rebel hearts. Something happened in their hearts. But I want to tell you a few things. Who had the experience when you have no water and at your home? Ever? I came from Ukraine, so I had more experience about it. We had times with no water for a long time. So it was easy for you or not? What do you think? No. So if you add wilderness, it will be not add, it will be multiplied, probably, multiplication of problems. So this was not the easy time for them. It was the real problem for them. And can you imagine, for a few millions of people, with the children, with the sheep, with the everything, nothing to drink, it's a problem, it's a huge problem. So they came against Moses and Aaron, and they begin to quarrel it with. They begin to speak about Moses and Aaron. They begin to speak about the Lord. And verse 7, Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the staff and gather the assembly, you and your brother Aaron. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will give out its water." What an idea. Can you imagine? You speak to the rock and you will receive water. Probably you agree it's a miracle from the Lord. We can try to speak to some rock here and we'll see. If you not believe me, try. You will see. It's not easy. It's take miracle from the Lord. He created a miracle. But we can see here great picture. Please remember this place. So, verse 10. So Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly in front of the rock. He said, "Listen now, you rebels. Must we bring you water from this rock?" Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with the staff. And we know what's happened there. Because he don't obey the Lord, Lord does not let him to enter the promised land. Because it was the disobedience from the Moses part. So Moses was disobeyed to the Lord. But we know why. Because his heart, he was overwhelmed with the Israelites. It's too much. It's really too much. Again, his life and the age of the 2 million people who again rebel against him. So he was angry. He was in anger and frustrated with Israel because of their sins, their stolen hearts. And he took the staff and he beat this rock twice. And this was disobedience to the Lord. because he does not understand what the Lord wants to say to us. And I want to open the 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2, because we will not understand this place without interpretation. And Rabbi Shaul, or Apostle Paul, he has great understanding of Messiah. And he brings this example to us so we know what was happening there. So from verse 2, second verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Rabbi Shaul explained this place, and I agree with his explanation. It's a very deep explanation. Chapter 2, verse 2, 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry, chapter 10, verse 2. It's chapter 10, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2. They are were immersed into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all are ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Messiah. Can you imagine this picture? This was the prophetic picture of future. They came to the rock, but the Lord wants to show them something. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. So the name of this rock, according to Rabbi Shaul, Rock of Our Salvation. And do you know how many times the prophets called the Lord, one of his name, the Rock of My Salvation? Let's say together, the Rock of My Salvation. Many people read it and don't understand what's about it. What does it mean, Rock of My Salvation? Oh, it's beautiful rock, or what is it, My Salvation? But according to this place of Scripture, this rock, it was the literally rock of their salvation. They drank from this rock, the living waters. And do you remember, according to the Scriptures and Brit Hadasha, if we see this picture, complete picture, when Yeshua came down and he spent time with his Talmidim, and before he was lifted up to the heaven, he told us, I will not leave you alone as orphans. I will give you my Spirit. I will ask Father, and he will give you his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. It was the prophetic picture for us and for them. They drank the living waters of their salvation from the rock of their salvation. It's beautiful. And this is why it was so serious, because Moses, in his anger, he does not get this moment. He loses it because of his anger. The same people, the same problems, the same situation, the same rebel, but the Lord decided to show them his mercy. Despite of their rebellion, despite of their unfaithfulness, he wants to show them mercy. And he brought them to the special moment, to the special place, the rock of their salvation. And you know, it was not small river or small drops of water there. It was not, you know, like, how it's called in English, I forget. Fasson. It was the river, literally. For 2 million people, with everything, they should drink a lot. So the Lord opened the rivers for their salvation. And because of his mercy, they were saved. It speaks to my heart, because this was not place of judgment. This was the place of mercy. This was not the moment of judgment. The Lord does not want to judge his people there. He said, it's enough with you. I want to show mercy to you. I want to give mercy to you. I want to show my salvation to you through Yeshua. And when I see this picture, I see myself. When I wander in this world without his mercy, without his love, in my rebel life, I don't know how about you. I was rebel against the Lord. Probably you was not. You are not, you're perfect. It's always happened this way. But I remember myself. I was rebel against him, even though he loves me so much. I don't know about it. I live my life for myself. In this condition, he brought me to the place, and this place called to me the rock of my salvation, Messiah. This is why Yeshua told about himself, I am the way. Only through Messiah we have eternal life, we have mercy, and we can drink the water of life, rivers of life. This is the promise. Can you see how deep it's rooted together? What's happened in the Torah with the understanding of New Testament, Brit HaDashah? Because it's the same book, inspired by the same Spirit, Holy Spirit. And also, one of the main lessons for me, the Lord wants to heal them from their rebel. He wants to heal their wounds. He wants to touch their hearts. He wants to show them mercy, and he wants to bring them to himself through his mercy. I know when I came to the Lord, what touched me most, it's not his judgment or not his wrath. It's not the promises that he will kill me or something. It's his mercy and his love. This is what touched me most in my life. This is what broke me, my heart. This is what moment when I gave my life to him. He wants to show them. And also, it's showing to us when we are wandering in our lives. Sometimes we are failing. Sometimes we are doing something wrong. I don't speak about you. I'm joking. All of us have sinned because we are living this world and we have this nature. But despite of it, the Lord has mercy for us in the Messiah Yeshua. And he has the rivers of life for us through the Holy Spirit, through the Messiah Yeshua. Can you imagine his mercy and his love to you and to me? It's great. So I just want to share this lesson. And I remember when I read this place of scripture, first thing I remember, the proverb of prodigal son. He rebelled against the father. Can you imagine? He came to his father and said, give me my money, my part. I want it now. It seems like people came to the Lord and said, I don't believe in you anymore. I want to live myself how I want to live. But in the end of this proverb, father had mercy to his son, and he restored him in his mercy with everything. Romans chapter 4, verse 7. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, and those sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin Adonai will never count against him. So you are blessed. I'm blessed. Because the Lord forgave us all our sins. And also I want to share a very quick second lesson. But we remember today Sudat HaMashiach, meal of Messiah. And I remember one place of scripture. This is John chapter 6 from verse 47. Yeshua speak to our hearts and to the people around him. Amen, amen, I tell you, he who believes has eternal life. Can you say with me, has eternal life? I don't see here, will have, maybe. Who knows, we'll see in the end. You will enter my place, I will tell you, you will have or not. It says here, who believe in me has, let's say together, has. Maybe it's English, I don't know. Maybe Russian different, but has, I understand it's already. Eternal life. I am the bread of life. This is why he's so bold about it, because he is the bread of life. This is why he explained to him, everyone who is believing me has, because I'm the life. And I've given the life to anyone whom I want to give, who believe in me, who comes to me. I am the bread of life. Verse 51. I am the living bread which come down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. He speaks about faith, about relationships, about following the Messiah. the rock of my salvation. So he is not only the rock of our salvation, he also the bread of life. And everyone who eats him will live forever. It means you came to him, you believe in him, and now you need this bread every day of your life. What will happen with your body if you refuse to eat? No, first you will be pretty. But later, if you will not start to eat something, you will die eventually. Sometimes people feel themselves when they fell from the Lord. Oh, I'm good, I'm strong. Wait a minute. Wait for a few time. It's the way to death without food. And he is our spiritual food. He is our spiritual bread for our life. He shows us mercy because he is the rock of our salvation. And he told to us, be with me, stay close with me, eat from me, drink from me, don't let go. And I remember the small story, and I will not speak about it because it will be really a few hours. I just want to mention very briefly about the story about Elijah and the widow. You can read it in 1 Kings chapter 17. You can read it home. And this is the miracle story. The Lord commanded widow to feed the prophet Elijah. And so he came to her, and she saw her. She is taking some wood to prepare some food, and she tell her, give me the food. She explained to him, I don't have anything. I have small jar of flour and oil. It's all. We will eat with my son, and we will die. And you know, remember, he told her, go home, prepare it for me, and rest what you will have, you will eat with your son. You know, merciful prophet. What a merciful heart. What a merciful heart, you know. He speak with faith to her life, and she received this faith. She received the word, and literally, scripture says, the man will live not by the bread only, but with every word that comes from God. It was not spiritual, it was literally. It was not idea, it was fact for her. She believed in the words of Adonai, of the Lord, through prophet. She did what she should do. She prepared, she cooked. And then the Lord made miracle for her. Not before. She does not came home and, oh, look, whole refrigerator with meat and everything. She obeyed the Lord from her difficult situation. She obeyed the Lord in her problems. She made the step of faith because she put herself in trust to the Lord, in his word. And this how she opened the door for the miracles from the Lord. And here I want to make very important statement here. We are the people of faith. And what made us the people of faith? Not our knowledge, not our ideas, but our obedience to the word of the Lord. Because our small obedience from the difficult situation, not from the above, but from nothing, opened the doors for the Lord to bless us and to create miracles. She received the first miracle, miracle of provision. You can try to eat from jar and we will see what will happen after a few times. It's miracle. It's obvious miracle from the Lord. She ate and her son ate, but also this miracle opened the door for the miracle of resurrection later. Because when her son died, she brought him to prophet. Because why? Because she already know the Lord made miracle for her. She believed in him already. And the end of this story, the verse 24, I want to end with this verse. When the woman said to Elijah, now I know that you are the man of God and that the word in your mouth is truth. Whew. I think we should know this for ourselves. And only way to trust it and to try it is to obey the Lord in small things in our life. When I obeyed, the Lord take his part. My obedience to the Lord. Actually, in Greek, we learned it during the foundation class. In Greek and Hebrew, the word emunah, you remember, emunah, it's faith. Do you remember the man whose name was Naaman? It's the same word. Naaman, it means faithful. The faith and faithfulness is the same idea in the scriptures. Our faithfulness opens the door for faith to come in our lives. So I want to end with it, and I want to tell you, faith is very practical. It takes obedience to the Lord in small things. And our obedience opens the door for the Lord's mercy and grace. Our faithfulness and tithes and givings open the door for miracles of healings, according to this place of Scripture. You cannot believe me, it's up to us to believe or not, but this is here. Our small obedience in our ministry to the Lord, according to the Scriptures, open our faith to be bold before the throne of God. We will not don't know Him until we will start to serve Him. It's two together. So I want to end with it, and I just want to tell you that we have the great privilege to come to the rock of our salvation, Yeshua the Messiah, to drink from waters of the living waters of the Holy Spirit by faith, and to eat the bread of life, the words which comes from Messiah. Amen. Amen. Think about it.
Thank you, Rabbi, for that strong word. I want to ask the congregation to stand up and join me. We're going to pray for the Korshans. Rabbi Sanina, if you can come up, and Sandy, come join us. David's in youth group.
Maybe we should invite him. What do you think?
Should we invite him? Okay, so he's coming. So in the meantime, Sandy wants to sing one of her favorite songs. No. And I will dance. Just kidding. You dance, I'll sing. But we can get our hearts ready. Don't you love Rabbi Yuri and Rabbi Sanina? And what a blessing they are to us individually and to us as a community and to the city of Jacksonville and the state of Florida and the country of the United States and the planet called Earth. Yeah. They're serving the Lord with gladness. They're serving the Lord with fullness of heart. They trust in the Lord. And their confidence in God bolsters our own strength in the Lord too, doesn't it? And so we want to bless them with confidence. We want to know that it's the desire of God for them to return.
Yes.
They know that. We want the American Embassy to know that. And when they come back, they'll have lots of good news. Right? So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the Korshan family, and we thank you for blessing them in their going out and then their coming back in. And we thank you that you have made them citizens of the kingdom of God, that they serve you everywhere they go. And I pray, Lord, that the favor that rests upon them would go before them as they're meeting at the American consulate in Kiev on Wednesday morning. And that favor would just make everything easy. And that the people who are in charge of issuing the visas would be simple and straight and clear, that they would issue the visas without error, with the right dates and even with a blessing, the longest dates that they can possibly issue. And I pray that it would be easy and that it would be just a sign of your favor. And I also pray for Rabbi Yuri and Rabbi Tzanina as they go to the Ukrainian passport office to get the new passports that have the longer duration. And I pray that they would not only get those, but they would get them at the right time so that there's no trouble that they have to work through while they're in Ukraine. And I ask that you would bless them in the times that they have with family and with friends and with the congregation in Nikolaev and with all the people who are dear to them. And we pray, Lord, with anticipation for their return. We pray, Lord, for your provision in every way in their life, for your protection, and for your blessing to be upon them. We pray this with confidence in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Amen. So, Rabbi, would you close with Aaron's blessing? We can shuffle closer to the center. Can you get the microphone?
Okay. So let's pray. Let's stand together. Yevarechecha Adonai ve'ishmerecha. Yaher Adonai panavelecha vichunecha. Issa Adonai panavelecha ve'yasem lecha shalom. Вот language I'm now. Okay. Да благословит тебя Господь и сохранит тебя. Да презрит на тебя Господь светлым лицом своим и помилует тебя. Да обратит Господь светлое лицо свое на тебя и даст тебе шалом. Амен.